You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
It would be an interesting subject, though.
I'm telling you what, you got to get Karen. She's real getting sneaky. You know, if we weren't listening to this
intro, if you weren't paying attention, we would catch a personal conversation.
She just pretended that she wasn't even here. She was just sitting back there being really cool. And then it finally came to the end of it, and she looked at me and she goes, "Are you paying attention, boy? Isn't that what you said?"
What she's doing is her job, but whether you know it or not, you're on the air.
1-888-221-8990. All right, class, write that number down. 1-888-221-8990. Now, the reason you write that number down is because we're here to help answer questions for you. And today we have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, REMAX of Stewart.
Yay!
Who's only been in the real estate business since 1978.
And she's still
she's 30. She never made it to 35. She's hovered a little younger than most of them. And then, and let me just toot her horn just a little bit. This lady has been written up as one of the top 100 REMAX agents in the entire globe, which is quite an accomplishment.
Sure is. And all congratulations.
She didn't even know that it was hard to do, because all she says, "I just work all the time. What else is new?"
That is true, though.
She only knows two speeds.
Yeah,
full blast and
sleep. Full blast and sleep.
Yeah. And that's the truth. But she's been that way her whole life. I've known her since 1980. And I'm telling you, the girl has had this. We drive along in a car, and I'd say, "Vic, you don't have to talk all the time." She'd quit talking, and in 8 seconds, she was sound asleep.
What else to do in the backseat by myself? Right?
There you go. Right. That's right. What are you going to do?
So we also have Mr. Vincent.
Correct. That's my really official name.
I know. I like Vincenzo.
And what's your middle name?
Paul.
He's a VP.
VPR,
yeah. Ooh. Well, it's named after, St. Paul. It was named after him.
Now, there was a St. Vincent? No.
Yes, there is a St. Vincent. Yeah.
And there was a guy who cut off his ear, too, named Vincent.
That's Vincent Van Gogh.
He wasn't a CPA, though.
No, not a CPA.
I'm not cutting off any ears.
No, please, not at this stage. No. Not if I don't have to.
Vince Rizzino, CPA, also forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the courts as an expert witness. So anything to do with questions with starting a business, closing a business, buying a business, selling a business, or personal taxes. Anything to do with that. Today's a good day. We've had different subjects that kind of roll together because Joe Martech is also here. Funny I should say that. Financial advisor, stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses. But a lot of the questions that come up, they almost have a double-edged sword. Some of them are very tax-oriented. Like we've talked about all kinds of different IRA accounts, retirement accounts.
And so those.
Depending on tax structure, income, all kinds of variables, there are many different ways that people can save money for retirement. Mm-hmm. So, here's one, Vic, that you should know about that I bet you haven't heard about.
Which one?
A solo 401k.
Solo. Nope, haven't heard of it.
See?
There you go.
See? That's because you don't listen to us when we're on the radio and you're not here.
I do try to listen.
Yes, we had a long discussion about that many times. Maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah, well, let's just talk a little briefing on it.
Maybe I do know what
I'm going to jump in. I'm going to finish the rest of the group, and then we'll talk about that a little bit because it's a very timely thing.
Yeah, especially now since you must open them before the end of the year.
Yeah, Joe Martech started doing these radio shows back in around 2004. We don't know exactly the date, but we know it was before Francis and Jean, the hurricanes, and the concept was simple. well, I have a lot of clients here and in 13 states, and people ask me questions that I don't know the answer to because I can't know everything for people. So in my opinion, credible professionals align themselves with other credible professionals in order to help their clients. So credible professionals, taxes. Well, I sure don't know that. I don't like them, but I don't know that. So I had to find a CPA. And now there's a lot of tax people, but a CPA has put the time in, got the credentials, has more liability, more online to help a client than a regular tax preparer. So CPA was a critical thing. Next item was an attorney. Why? Well, when I first meet a new prospect or suspect, I've got to talk about a will or a trust. And if they, even if they have such a thing, I feel somewhat responsible to take a look at it. And if it's outdated or it may have been done, can you believe this, incorrectly? And I'm not an expert, but I've looked at hundreds of these over a period of time. And I know enough to say to people, this might need to be looked at again. So an attorney was a critical member that specialized in wills and trust. And that's Greg Fasula, who happens to be the only attorney in the world that I know that I'd like to have as a next door neighbor. Just a flat good guy, nice person, good person, not pretentious, not arrogant, good guy. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Solid, solid guy, only been in business 37 years, in my opinion, the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. Somewhere between 50 and 100 different companies under his umbrella, which simply means if Dan can't do it, it probably can't
nobody
be
else
done.
Nobody else can either.
With the exception of two things. Dan does not do mega yachts, and Dan does not do airplanes, which normally takes very specialized people that stay right in that vein. Right. It's like, now don't let me pick on you, Vince, but it's like somebody that has a $200 million estate. You know, now we come into a tax attorney very often and becomes very complicated. We look at Donald Trump and his tax returns and he's not paying any taxes. Well, let me tell you something. There are people, I bet you, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, hundreds of thousands.
And they don't have a proper
taking care.
They don't have the right planning. Look at James Gandolfini, right?
Yeah.
May he rest in peace. You know, he didn't have anything. No planning. I don't think he even had a will.
They're trying to find out with Prince.
Well, the key thing is this. There are people that are experts, and each expert has a niche that they call them. Most of the people that we talk to in our group are what I'm going to call normal people. I think my biggest client's a little bit under $2 million. And I've helped people that were 25 and 50 million. But quite honestly, once I helped them, they no longer stayed my client because they needed a higher level of expertise than I could provide. So people that fit my niche, our niche, I feel comfortable with.
And they feel comfortable with you.
Yeah, and that's the truth. Yeah. The last member, actually the newest member of the team, which is about 5 years now, is Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. And those of you that have lived in Florida for any length of time, in fact, you don't even have to live in Florida to have seen the debacle in real estate, which then became the debacle in mortgages and all of the problems that occurred.
Yes.
An expert in mortgages, and Mike's like 25 or 7 years in the mortgage business, so very, 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 very knowledgeable and a solid guy. I mean, that
he is great, and he's easy to work with.
That became the basis of our group, was to have local professionals that were not new in business, that had credibility and integrity and expertise. So now we start coming up to different subjects. But let me just say this, folks, and I mean this sincerely, you should write this phone number down and keep it, because we're on every Wednesday for an hour from 4 until 5 o'clock, and we're here to answer questions and we're here to help people. And we've been very, very fortunate that we've been able to help quite a few people. So you write this number down, keep it handy. It's toll-free from any place, including the Bahamas, which when I was in the Bahamas, the station came in all the way over in Hopetown. Wow. Long ways away.
That's a long way.
Did you call in?
No. 1-888.
He was on vacation.
I was on vacation. I was listening, though. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So, Vic, you know what an IRA is.
Oh, of course.
You can put, you know, because you're an old lady now, even though you don't look it, of course, you can put $6,500 a year aside. But on that solo 401k, you know what a 401k is?
Absolutely.
Usually it's an employer, right?
That's correct.
But if you're self-employed, you're the employer, aren't you?
Yes.
And you are self-employed.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. She's perfect.
Solo.
Now I'm done. Now Vince is going to explain it to you.
Well, it's really not all that complicated. It's that provision of law allows you to set up as a self-employed individual a 401k for yourself and or your spouse if you're the only employees in the business. Okay. No, you have to be the only employees in the business. But the beauty part about it is it allows an employer contribution, which you're your own employer.
You're the employer.
So you can put money away as an employer on behalf of you, the employee.
But and unlimited, right?
No, it's no, you're no. It's limited up. To self-employment earnings. Now, if you're a, depending on the entity, if you're an S-Corp, then you'd have to take compensation in order to make become eligible because it's a percentage of your compensation that you can put in on behalf of the employer. And
but as an she's an LLC, is are you a part?
If you're an LLC, then it's a different calculation. You can still do it, but it's self-employment earnings, which would be net earnings on, say, a Schedule C or on a Schedule E. If you're you know your LLC, you get a K-1 from that LLC. That's self-employment earnings, and that would become eligible for this contribution.
Now here's the beauty thing. Here comes the bottom line, though. After all of the C and E's and F's and G's and K's and L's
right.
and P's that
you
he
could
was
put
going
up
into.
To $59,000 per person if
per
you're
year.
Over 50 per years year. Of age per year.
Per year, which is great.
And you make the requisite compensation on net earnings.
And I did hear something like that, but I wasn't sure what it was called.
Well, here's what happens, and you know this. Right now, the real estate market is particularly hot, and we all know realtors that are making $500,000, some $1 million a year, and some are above that. Well, normally, if you were in an IRA, you got $6,500, but the fact that you could put up almost $60,000 a year and not pay tax on it, and then later on, when you're officially an old lady, then you can start taking the money back out. So the whole concept is you can defer taxes. At today's rate, you might be in a 36% bracket, and when you're retired, you might be in a 20 or 25% bracket. So there's little things that are allowed in the tax code that allow a person that might have a good year or two or three to put aside a big chunk of money.
Yeah, it's very beneficial.
Interesting, just what he said, though, is that you don't think about those things. You might be in a certain tax bracket today, but not realize later on when you're ready, what is it, 70 and a half, they want you to start taking money out?
Okay, but now at 70 and a half, unless you're still alive, but you know, the speed you run at, you may not make it. But anyway... You might skip it, right? The odds are good you won't be working 60, 80 hours a week at that point, or you may not want to, or you may not have to. There's all kinds of things that come in. However, when you turn 70 and a half, you basically have to take out that year 4% of the value of the account. Now, it's not exactly 4, but it's about 4%. So let's say you had $200,000. That's $8,000 that you'd be paying tax on.
Yes, which would be less than before.
Well, that's the whole concept is it should be less. You don't know for sure, but the concept is if now you're making $500,000 a year, you may be making $100,000 or $50,000 that year. Now that you're, quote, retired or mostly retired, you're not going to work 70, 60, 80 hours a week. You're going to be working much less or not at all. So now it'd be subject to your tax rate at that time. So the concept of the solo 401k allows a person who's having some good years that is self-employed to put aside that big chunk of money. So it's the wrinkle in the law.
That's perfect.
Which is a great thing.
It's helpful. It's if you have a good year, like you said, and you want to maximize your retirement contribution.
Yeah. Now with that's that the one also, like an IRA, can you borrow money against it to buy real estate?
Yes, with a 401k, yes. Yeah. Solo 401k,
but,
yes,
but
you
not
can.
A regular
not an IRA, you
can't
do it.
But a 401k, you can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of benefits to a 401k.
Plus, in a solo, you can direct your investments to self-directed. You can put it into precious metals. You can do lots of different things.
As opposed to if it's an employer, real company that you're working for. Normally,
usually they have a plan.
They
have their own program.
They have certain systems. It's not self-directed. It's directed by the employer.
Well, you're the employer.
But if you're the
director,
employer, you can do anything you want.
You make those
you
decisions.
Say,
anyway,
it's the same concept. The employer is making the investment decision, but you're the employer, you're making it.
That's perfect.
You're wearing two hats,
nice,
and
though.
It's all the same person.
It's nice to know that.
888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Now, that's just one concept of a retirement plan that you can use to save money for, quote, your retirement days. A regular IRA, depending on your age, you can put $6,500, but there's also SEPs.
The SEPs are similar.
$13,000 or so.
No, SEPs are based on a percentage of your net income.
But they have a max amount, though.
Yep.
Okay. Isn't that giver? I'm guessing. I haven't done one for a long time.
It's the maximum is based on your earnings somewhere around, I think, $250,000. Once you reach that maximum of net, you can't put any more in.
But how much can you put aside?
It's 22,000, 22,500.
Okay. And we have a caller. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe.
Hello, hello.
I want to ask you about a Roth IRA.
Go ahead.
I have some funds I want to put away, say, for expenses for your funeral later on, the appearance or so.
How old a man are you now?
Right now I'm 35.
Okay. Let's just talk about real quickly what happens. The Roth IRA means you would pay taxes on that money now, but then later on, that money, all the growth, whenever you take it out, is tax-free. However, if I'm not mistaken, Vince, before you're not supposed to take this money out until you're 59 and a half.
Well, yes. If you take it out earlier, then there's a penalty.
Yeah.
10% penalty, plus you pay the income tax.
Plus tax.
So you get a double hit there.
So it's not really used to save money to go buy a house next week or next month. However, in some of these programs, and I'm not sure if in a Roth IRA you can buy real estate, probably in a 401k, some of them you can, but
depending
point
on
is,
the solo.
Normally, if we're looking at a Roth, you're a young guy, you're allowed to put $5,500 a year aside, you'll pay tax on it, and when you start taking it out at age 59 and a half or older, it would be no tax on it, on any of the money that you accumulated, including all the growth.
Oh, so if I want to take that money out before 59 and a half, I would still have to pay a tax on it? That's what you're saying? Tax and penalty?
Yes and yes. You'd have a double-edged sword. You'd pay a 10% penalty because you took it out 2 years early, and it would be converted away from the Roth into an ordinary income stream. So you'd have a double-edged sword bad. So when I look at people that say, hey, Joe, I want to put money aside to go buy a house, a car, or something, well, you don't put that into an IRA. It just doesn't work that way.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I hate to give you the bad news, but...
Well, these plans, Joe, these plans are designed for retirement, and that's what the government is encouraging you to keep it until retirement age. So they figure 59 and a half is a safe number. It's somewhere between 55 and 65, and so
they come up with that arbitrary number, 59 and a half, and that's it. So literally, and in fact, I counsel people all the time, especially people that in a 35-year age group, be careful about putting too much money into a retirement plan that you might need to take back out to buy a house or college or whatever, and now you pay penalty and tax. So I usually look at people and figure you've got to keep what I call case money, which is
just
called
in case,
you know, for things that might come up where you need it.
Okay.
All right, my man.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
You're
just
welcome.
Think there's some things in life when you're young that you get penalized for. That's terrible. Usually they say, oh, I wish I was 35 again. And people say, hey, but I'm 60.
Well, yeah.
You don't have to worry about
how
that.
How many people do we know? And I mean literally, that started retirement accounts and they were funding them like crazy and everything was good, and then they had to cash them in because of an emergency or
the
because
last
an
five
opportunity
years in particular
when bad economy,
people lose their jobs. Although you can in certain circumstances
yeah, but it's better
abate
to take
the penalty.
A penalty and have to pay tax on it than have nothing.
Well, of course it is, but the key was this:
if
you had never put it into that IRA account, you wouldn't have a 10% penalty.
Of course. That's why you're like you're saying. You have to diversify.
You got to be a bit careful about what your goal is with that money. So,
You should be right. You should be talking with the financial planner who would talk to you about your goals.
Yeah.
And that's the starting point
of
any financial plan.
Like
what do you want to do?
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now, let's talk about rollovers or transfers. This is something that we take for granted. But let's say you have this 401k and you're working for a company and you leave that company. Well, you now have the ability normally to roll that 401k away from the company and put it into an individual retirement account, an IRA, that you would control, and that's called a tax-free exchange, a rollover. Why? As long as you don't put it in your pocket, the government says, hey, you're saving that money for retirement just because it was with your employer or ex-employer. Now you can control it into an IRA. So that's a rollover. There's also what's called a transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have an existing IRA account in the bank, and the bank's paying you a whole 0.5%, and you're not happy. You can now transfer that away from the bank and put it with somebody or something else that's approved by the government, and that is also a tax-free exchange. In fact, I had a fellow today. He had a small IRA, and he called me and he said, "Joe, they're paying me 0.25% on this thing." And I said, "Well, we can do 5 or 6. That's not too hard to do." And he says, "What do I do?" I said, "Go to the bank, tell them you want a check made out to the transfer agent, which happens to be Pershing, and then on the check they put for benefit of FBO, you, the client. That way they know the money's not being taxed. It's going to go to a new entity, which is now going to be held into this brokerage account." So that was real nice and easy. Took them 30 minutes to do the transfer. Walk into bank, bank writes them a check as long as...
I can news for you, Joe. You can do it even simpler than that. You do what's called a trustee-to-trustee transfer, and you ask the bank to do it, and they'll wire it to your new trustee.
Yep, same thing.
And that keeps it out of your hands completely. There's no chance you're going to lose it. No chance that somebody, you know, you're going to then tempt it to spend it.
One of the problems that comes up with a trustee-to-trustee, what if you don't have a trustee yet, and you're establishing a brand new?
If you're establishing an IRA, there'll be a trustee. There'll be one set up.
See, what happens is they also call them custodians.
Well, whatever. Trustees, you know, custodians, right? Same thing.
What
same
happens,
difference.
It's different words, but the bottom line is when you have this, quote, retirement account, somebody over here is sitting in their whatever facility, whether it's a bank, an insurance company, a brokerage house, whatever it might be. They're usually called the trustee or the custodian. Then they have to report to the government every year what you're doing with that account. Doesn't mean there's taxes, but they have a responsibility to report.
They report out what the balance is and whether you've had any withdrawals.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or contributions.
Yeah.
Either way, you can withdraw. That's like accounts where you can go and buy some real estate.
No. This is an IRA account.
Oh, it's IRA.
Yeah, yeah. You can't. Okay. You can't buy. No. Okay. See, this girl sells real estate. She's trying to get your money. Folks,
no,
I hate to tell you.
No, because I know there are accounts and people do it all the time. So it's just depending.
It depends on the type of account.
Because they have the custodians in there, and it's you and the custodian.
If it's a retirement account, there's special rules. You can't take it out generally if you're under 59.5 without having some sort of penalty associated with it. If you're over 59.5, you just have income taxes, as opposed to Roth.
But not right away. You won't have those income tax right away.
Oh, yes. When you take the money, you take it out. That's what becomes taxable income.
That's your taxable income.
But can't you still, there are some IRAs you can still, or some kind of accounts you can buy it in, the property in, and
you're
still not paying taxes.
This is called an investment account.
Right.
You could have a broker. Can you imagine such a thing?
That's right. And that's where it is.
And that broker could have a real estate fund inside of there that's approved by the government. You can invest in that.
That's right.
Now you got it.
So that's what I'm saying. But you
still can't get it, Vic.
No.
But he is this. There's probably 30,000 different approved investments that retirement money can go into. And every broker-dealer folks are like Merrill Lynch, Dean Witter, Smith Barney. Mine's called Centaurus. There's 600 or 700 broker-dealers in America. They have an approved list of everything that's in there that the government says, hey, this is okay, you're allowed to invest money into these approved investments. So the key is the bank is one, an insurance company might be another, a brokerage firm is another. There's different places money can go, including gold and silver.
Of course.
But even though I've heard commercials, I've not seen it done successfully. They say you can hold physical gold in an IRA.
I've heard it too, Joe. I just don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
Because how do they know when you've taken it out of your vault?
Yeah,
and cashed it out.
They don't know. But you can get certificates that say you own gold, but it is now being controlled by the custodian or trustee, and they report to the government that they're holding this chunk of gold or whatever on an annual basis and what you're doing or not doing. So, and that custodian becomes critical. They have a big responsibility because the government, in order to make them an approved custodian, they get audited, and I mean, it's a very, very, very strong thing. Hey, Uncle does not want you not to pay taxes. They want you to pay taxes. So,
but you're only required to pay what you legally
own. Oh, yeah. Tax avoidance is different.
That's why, you know, I don't want to get political, so we'll make it not a political discussion. But just because somebody wound up not paying any taxes,
isn't that something?
Doesn't mean that it did anything illegal.
No.
Of course.
And it also, when people say they did not pay taxes, that entity or entities might have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes, but when it folded down to that one person may not have paid, but all of those entities might have paid millions.
That's right.
Which, you know, it's for some, you know, it's the media. They're never going to.
Because there are other taxes too, regardless, yeah. So you never get away from.
No.
Real estate taxes, sales taxes, employment taxes. There's so many taxes that an employer pays, but that at the end of the day, they wind up with losses.
Yeah.
And you take those losses legally,
And
you wind up dropping your tax to virtually nothing. Well, there's nothing illegal.
There's a strategy, and it's all perfectly legal. And we were leading into that at the very beginning of the show when I was working with this client that had $25 million. Well, when they set up the trust, this was over my head and over most of the people's heads that I knew, because this particular attorney that did it, I think he charged about $25,000 to do it, but it became family limited partnerships, it became all kinds of entities that you never hear of.
Right.
But this particular attorney had case documentation where these things were already allowed. And this stuff is dearly protected by these people because this is very sophisticated stuff. Tax evasion means jail. Tax avoidance is legal.
That's right.
So I don't know a person alive who says, I want to pay more taxes. I just can't imagine somebody saying
that. Well, that's why somebody like Warren Buffett can say that I've paid at the same rate as my secretary.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
They take care of they use losses.
Yeah.
They also take advantage of what's called carried interest, which probably nobody knows what that is.
Yeah.
That means if you're you make investments in certain private equity funds or other investment funds, the law allows you to take some of that profit out at capital gains rates.
There's
not at ordinary income rates, like most of your dividends, interest, and other things are. So this carve outs in the law.
Exactly.
That's perfectly legal. Nothing illegal about it.
No,
it's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
And you know what? If you're smart, I often said, you know, I'm not going to argue against that all the wealthy people in the country, you know, they're somehow they're getting a big tax break. And my answer to that is, well, I just got to get wealthy. I mean, that's the answer. I got to join the club. I can't sit on the sidelines and fight against it.
Well, it hurts you for purchases, too, though. Because let's say you make $500,000 a year, mm-hmm. you write off $400,000 and you're only making $100,000.
Right.
You can really afford more of a home, but they're only going to base it on the $100,000. And people forget about that also.
That's qualifying for mortgages and financing, right?
And people forget about those things.
But there is, you know, when I look at somebody that's got a big company and he's got 100 employees, now 100 employees is not considered a big company, but each one of those employees, that employer is now paying half of the Social Security,
right?
Which mm-hmm. is how much percentage-wise?
Well, that comes out to 7.65% is the match.
Is the Medicare?
That including Social Security and Medicare. Social Security is 6.2% of your pay.
Right.
And this Medicare is 1.45, so they combined is 7.65. The employer pays 7.65.
You pay
7.65. So that roughly 15.3% of your pay is going into your fund.
So the employer has to make enough money to pay his share, which is half of yours, for each one of those employees, which is now a ton of people.
And by the way, if you're self-employed, Joe, and you're your own
employer,
you're paying both sides.
Yeah, it's Vic. Anybody that's self-employed pays both sides.
In fact, some people I know, and I have some startup companies as clients, their self-employment tax was higher than their income tax.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think 15% a year. I mean, they call it payroll taxes, trying to confuse you, because no matter what, you generate X number of dollars, you have payroll taxes. Now, that has nothing to do with income taxes. That's Social Security and Medicare. You got roughly 15% off the top of the line. So, anyway.
My pet peeve, though, is, and if you go back, you won't be happy with who signed the law, but my pet peeve is that you pay into Social Security with after-tax dollars.
Yeah.
Meaning that it comes out of your net pay.
Yeah.
But then when you collect it, if you happen to be fortunate enough to have a lot of income when you're in your retirement years,
you pay again.
Because it becomes taxable income. It's a double dip on the Social Security.
Well, it makes no sense to me.
Behind
the scenes, which we don't talk on the show, we have many, many, many conversations about the inequities in our system that are not fair. But, hey, you know, that's now politics and
no, it's not politics. It's the fact of life. It's a fact of life. That's the tax law. I'm here to tell you as a CPA, that's what you're going to be paying.
Death and taxes, right?
Now, you may not like it. I don't like it. I wish they would change it.
Well, and we'll find out.
Whether it's a Democrat or a Republican.
Let's have everybody sign it.
And by the way, it doesn't matter what party you belong to.
No.
They should change this because it's not equitable.
Petition it.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So if you've got questions today with, you know, real estate's a big subject.
Oh,
today.
My Lord, it is.
I mean, think about
it. It's a big discussion.
Big subject. Look at what's happened. The value of real estate has gone up 20 or 30%.
About 28%.
Mm-hmm. Over in 1 year.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that's happening is, and now I'm starting to see a lot of new construction start. Because
lot of new construction.
Yeah, prices for new construction are starting to rival old construction. Now, if you think about something logically, a new house is worth more than an old house because an old house is worn out. It's depreciated. Pieces of it need repair. And so it's, unless it's kept perfect.
And some are, Joe.
I know, and some are. But it's not normally going to be worth as much as a new house on the same piece of property, right?
Correct.
Normally.
Yeah, correct.
So the object today is, if new construction is $200 a square foot, and I'm just using a number, not saying it is, and you've got a 2,000 square foot house, $200 a square foot times 2,000, that's a lot of money.
Yes. Oh boy.
Plus the lot, plus improvements on the lot, et cetera, and in permits and all the rest of that good stuff. So when a good realtor comes along and says, okay, fine, here's a new house for $500,000, but I got a house four blocks away in almost the same condition for $100,000 less, you're going to have to look at it pretty hard to say, is this the value that what I'm getting? Because you were talking about somebody. Well,
I saved him $300,000.
Yeah.
Saved him $300,000. Really? Yeah. I said, now what's wrong with me? What do I work on now?
Yeah. gave away quite a bit of money.
And I was the one that said, can I please show you something?
Yeah.
And I just want you to make the decision at the end. And at the end, they bought the $400,000 instead of the $700,000. And it didn't make any difference. The products I was looking at, and a lot of them were here in Palm City, you were looking between $200,000 and $250,000 more for something to build scratch that you could say was brand new.
Yeah.
And well, I had something that was a few years older, but yet it featured everything that they wanted.
You did the right thing for the client.
Of course.
And you weren't greedy.
No, well, I love thrift stores. What's wrong with me? I try to find bargains.
Nothing wrong with that.
And she can't wait to go to New York to Macy's basement.
When are you going?
Yeah, she'll spend.
I want to go to Tiffany's.
She goes. She spends $2,000 on hotel and airfare to save $50.
It's okay.
God bless her.
I walked into Tiffany's over in New York City, and I said, "Now, do you really have a cafe in Tiffany's? breakfast at Tiffany's."
Yeah, right.
They said, "No, we really don't." and they really looked at me so funny because how do I know they don't have a back room somewhere that they're hiding?
Oh, I'm sure they do have a back room, but they're not serving breakfast.
This girl has been exactly the same since 1980. She hasn't changed one inch. You think you get more sophisticated? No chance.
No.
If the thought comes in her head, it doesn't get filtered. It comes right out of her mouth.
And people go, shh. So we get over to McDonald's, and I'm not a fast food person, but my sister has four sons, so we'd go through a fast food, and I got up to McDonald's, and I went, hi. My sister's going, no. How are you today? She says, I said, any specials?
She's special.
Please, don't do this to me. And I said, the girl goes, no. She starts laughing. She goes, well, wait a minute. There's some dollar specials. And I ended up spending $50 at a McDonald's.
Wow.
I said, give me
That's
candy.
Not an easy test.
Let me just tell you
something. But it was so many good deals and four big boys.
So many good deals.
That
does sound like barbage. You don't realize how much money I saved you today. How much did it cost me to have you save is what I want to know, right?
Hundreds.
Cost you hundreds of dollars to save $50.
I spent I had such a great bargain. It was on sale.
How could I
Did
not
you
do
need it?
No.
But it was on sale.
Oh, boy.
I think the worst one, though, is when you buy something that really doesn't fit you.
Yeah.
You always think that it might later on.
Well, you have to have
it was such a good deal. And
you don't have
and it
two
hangs
wardrobes?
In a closet for 10 years, right? You keep waiting.
That never changes.
You don't have a skinny and a chubby wardrobe? I thought everybody had one of those.
No, I
didn't.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990, which leads me into the subject of Mike Paulus, who's not here. But when we talk about buying a house now, we've got to talk about interest rates. We've got to talk about mortgages. And I got to tell you, I mean, we're back to the rules of you have to prove you can afford it. Now, that was the rule forever. You had to approve, but then we had a period of time where you didn't have to prove, or they allowed you to lie, basically.
Well, they just believed you. No, yeah. I don't think anybody really lied. You said, hey.
Yes, they did.
I'm a realtor, and I make $500,000 a year. Well, you could make $500,000, is what they would say.
All it amounts to is you just sign a piece of paper, and then you didn't
have. But they
have
allowed it.
I read an article the other day that said that, you know, in the old days, back in the 80s, they used to require a 20% down payment. I think the average
But that's not true.
That is not true, because we've done it many times.
We had 5% downs like crazy in the
70s. Conventional mortgages?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't remember those. But anyway,
we sold lots of them.
Well, here's the point. The average over the last 3 or 4 years has been more like 6%, in some cases as low as 1.
Well, in some cases, even none.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, like.
So they've made it a little easier to buy.
VA mortgages is zero down. FHA is 3.5% down. But these things have always been around. Conventional financing, they had what's called PMI, primary mortgage insurance. So you could get a 5% down loan, but you had to pay insurance to protect the lender down to
20%.
As though it was 20% down. Mm-hmm. Those have always been available. Now, what happened during the debacle of all of this real estate, underwriting got tougher, meaning you could fog a mirror and they would approve you. And then all of a sudden, now you had to prove you had a job. You had to prove you had money in a bank. You had, if the money was given by your parents, the parents had to prove that they didn't steal it. I mean, it was became more difficult.
I bought my first house. We had to give bank statements for 3 months to show that we had the money in the bank. I had to give them a W-2 form.
Of course.
And then you still had to give them a check stub. See what you're earning.
All that now is tougher and tougher. But here's the key. If you can prove it, that means you can afford it, because the rule of real estate was, to get a mortgage, you have to prove you can afford it. So they have ratios. If Mike was sitting here right now, he'd say some of the ratios are 50% of your income can go to housing, total expense, some 40%. Back when years ago in the 70s and 80s, it was 36%.
Right, no more.
And that was the look. You couldn't give any higher a ratio. But then those things change with time. But the reality is this. Today, people can qualify for a first mortgage on a primary residence with credit scores at or about 600, which is not high, and they can qualify and get in a mortgage with
That's
a 4%.
I mean. So generally, the environment's more favorable to the borrower.
Oh, big
these
time,
days.
Right now. Yeah. Interest rates are
so
super.
Has the pendulum swung so far now, or are we back to where we were? Or
with
not
what?
Yet?
With what?
With underwriting.
Well, with underwriting, they're very strict.
Are they? They're still
very
strict?
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time.
Yeah, and this is what upsets a lot of people. They'll say, oh, my God, I can't believe they asked for another piece of paper, and I can't believe they wanted to know
why I made
that deposit the other day, and I can't believe.
I guess that's good and bad. I mean, it's good from the lender's point of view, because they're only going to lend to qualified borrowers.
See, but that was the way it always was. We had this.
How did we get away from that?
Well we had too much money.
That's right. And one little window there that they...
Well, the Fed kept pumping the money into the banking system back in the
90s.
Mortgage
securities were bundled as investments.
Well, yes, but people, how did they qualify in the first place, Joe? They had to give a mortgage in order to bundle them and sell them. Well, how did they get the underwriting at that level?
A lot of people lied.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about.
And they weren't
there
verified.
Were no income check mortgages,
there
Joe.
You go.
Of no
course.
Income check that's mortgages.
And if Mike was sitting here today, he would tell you there are still such things. So let's say that somebody's got $5 million in the bank, but they don't have a job.
Right.
Well, sometimes a lender says, okay, fine, we'll make an exception because you don't have much income, but you got a lot of cash, and we'll give you that mortgage. Because back again to the rule, can you afford to pay for this thing? That was what they were looking at. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990, and where I was leading with that. And write that number down, folks.
Yeah, write it down.
888-221-8990. If you've got a question to do with real estate, mortgages, investments, taxes, insurance, even though Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, is not here. In fact, he was on the morning show.
He was.
And you were there too, Vic. But the key thing that we're looking at with helping people save as much money as humanly possible, and that was why Dan was such an important member of the group when I first started doing this thing, because those of you that have lived in Florida since 1992, when Hurricane Andrew hit, it put a ton of insurance companies out of business, and the state had to come in and pick up the slack and pay the claims, because that's how the state works. But then all of a sudden, insurance companies started to non-renew people or cancel them and say, hey, we got too much risk, and rates went up. Well,
If you work for one insurance company, you can be in trouble. But if you work for the insured and you have 50 or 60 companies under your umbrella, if one falls out of vogue, another one will take its place. And that's where Dan has just done a magnificent job. And if Mike was here right now, he'd really be tooting Dan's horn big time how many deals he saved for him.
Right.
In the meantime, call this number, 888. And by the way, when it comes to mortgages, when it comes to real estate, I've been espousing this for years and years and years. Work backwards. Find out ahead of time what you can qualify for on a mortgage before you even go out and look.
And that's what I try to tell people, Joe. A lot of people say, but don't you worry, I can afford it. Yeah. I know, I understand that, and I'm sure you can. But why go look for a property and fall in love with it and know that it's not going to work for you?
And especially then you go apply for it and you get turned down a month later, and then the seller is really upset because they took the property off the market.
So they haven't pre-qualified for it. Yeah. And the other thing is that there's more than just a down payment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've run into this so frequently where they don't understand that there are closing costs.
Right.
And then, let's see.
Let's find a caller. We might have a closing cost question. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. My question is, I bought a house September last year, 15. And I didn't apply for homestead until February 16 of this year. And the homestead still hasn't applied because they said they mailed something and telling me that I had to change something. But anyways, they said it would apply next year. My question is, my neighbors just bought the house July this year, and they already have the homestead exemption applied. What is that all about?
Well, when they purchased the home, they might have already had homestead on it. So that seller...
The seller, right.
The seller would have had homestead on that home already. So that's a bonus for that buyer. So they have to close before the end of the year, December 31st, and apply for homestead before March 1st of the next year. So that's what happened with that. They just got the benefit. So the home you purchased must not have had homestead on it.
Well, no, but what happened
here? No, I don't think you did.
We also, when you bought the house, you missed that March deadline that next year, so you lost a year of homestead, if I heard you right.
She bought it February. Yeah.
When did you buy it?
No, I bought it September of 15, but I didn't apply until February of this year.
Okay.
Yeah. So then you lost a year, but you'll get the homestead next year. But obviously, if you could go turn the clock back, you'd...
God bless you.
Thank you. You'd definitely like to turn the clock back because it might have cost you more because the house goes up in value and the homestead is based on usually where you start from. And then once it's started, it can only go up 3% a year, but your house might have gone up 10 or 15% in a year, which is good and bad because now your taxes will be set on the new rate.
Oh, yeah.
At a higher
yeah.
value.
Yeah. So, but hey, the only good news is your house is worth more, and if you sold it, you'd make a profit. But unfortunately, now you'd have to go buy another house when houses are not cheap. You know, it's catch 22.
But
right?
I don't need to. I don't want to sell my house. I'm happy with my house right
now. Keep it. Just apply for your homestead. Don't let it go another year.
But you did apply for homestead now, right?
I did. I did this year and in February. So they said it would apply in January.
Yeah.
On 17
for next year.
So hopefully, yes. Okay. Great. All right. Thank you so much for
your
help.
Enjoy it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Well, you know, people make mistakes in life, and mm-hmm. and you can't turn the clock back, you know, and you can walk in there and cry all you want and say you made a mistake, but boy, those I's and T's crossed and dotted, that's what they go by.
It's called
tuition.
Well,
that's why we do that at closing.
Yeah.
You know, we show people, we give them the piece of paper, we tell them what they have to do, we give them the dates. We try to make sure, and I know you become overwhelmed because you're moving and you forget about
it. And you forget.
But we tell you, don't forget about this. Make sure you go ahead and do this.
Smart. Well,
the key thing is, and you're very conscientious, that's just who you are, Vic, but not everybody is.
No,
and
you're correct.
Very oftentimes a closing agent will just say, okay, do this, and apply for homestead in January, and then they just keep going. They don't make it a
point.
Big deal, which some things should be made a big deal because it's very important.
And not everybody goes to a closing. Not all realtors go to closings with their clients.
Particularly in a rising market, right?
Yeah.
And if I can't make it, it means something's really wrong.
1-888-221-8990. Well, back many, many, many moons ago when I was in real estate, we had as many as 28 communities all over the state working. And I told all of my salespeople, you can't go to a closing. because we might have 20 closings this week and I'd have nobody working. But we counseled everybody. We made sure the people we were renewing with were counseling them. And then almost always our buyers would come back and talk to us to make sure. And we would keep counseling to make sure they were doing the right thing.
Yeah, but you had a regional person that would go to all those.
Yeah.
Which was me.
Oh, you're
kidding. You probably forgot that.
What's your name again? 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. All right, so we covered a little bit on taxes.
A little bit.
We covered solo 401ks.
Yes.
IRAs, transfers, rollovers. Nothing new on Social Security since the first.
Well, yes, there has been.
Oh, what's new?
What's new is they're clobbering us. If anybody's making, who's a middle class person, they're raising the threshold from 118,000 to 127,000. What does that mean? That means that up to that level of income is going to be subject to Social Security tax.
So $9,000 more times 15% basically is the new Social Security. Mm-hmm. Now, in honesty, Joe Boy sitting over here who's collecting thinks there should be no threshold on Social Security because Social Security has a problem.
Well, see, that's what they're doing. See, the government is coming to that realization that they need to fund more money into this program.
The system, right?
So the way to do it is either raise the rate or raise the base.
Right.
So right now they left the rates the same.
Yeah.
They haven't upped the rates in years.
No.
So they keep upping the base. Eventually, I could see where that might be like Medicare.
Right.
Unlimited. There is no cap.
Yeah.
So you pay it on every dollar you earn. You pay Medicare.
Well, let's take a person making $1 million a year. They cut it off at $127,000. They pay their Social Security on that $127,000.
Right.
But everything over that, there's no Social Security tax. Is that fair? Not necessarily, but the problem is we have to look at the long term. Most young people are deathly afraid that there's not going to be a Social Security system at all. But almost everybody realizes the age for drawing Social Security keeps going up a little bit every year. What is it, a month or so every year or two?
No, it depends on your age.
Yeah.
It goes up to a maximum of 67 years of age, depending on when you're born. I think if you're born after 55 or 57.
Whatever the date, yeah.
Then you go into the next year. And everything in between, there's increments of a month, depending on when you're born, the date of your birth.
Basically. So what they call full retirement age, when I got it, it was 66. Now it's like 67.
Retirement age is 67 for those people born in the 60s.
By the time Vic gets, because she's only 30, she'll have to be 105.
So it was the guy that called in.
Well, if you're 35 years old, it may be as high as 70 for full retirement age.
Yeah, but you see, the flip side of this thing is if you're going to be fair and somebody makes $1 million a year and you tell them I'm going to tax you on the entire million into Social Security, now what's the payback on the other side? Do you have a higher Social Security benefit when you get to be normal retirement age?
And there should be.
So there is a cost. You might get money up front now, but there'll be a payback later. So it's a game of where that cash flow is.
And what is the maximum that you can make right now, Beth?
Right now it's 118 cap on Social Security.
118.
And Medicare is unlimited. So no matter what you make.
And it's going to 127 next year?
Next year, January 1, it goes to 127 on Social Security. Yeah. And the flip side, they're giving the Social Security retirees a whole 0.3% increase.
Big raise.
January 1.
Big raise, 30 cents.
So what are you going
to
do with that?
Oh, boy.
We're going to.
McDonald's and meet up with that girl. Get something.
No, McDonald's is too expensive. You spent $50 there.
That's right. Don't they give discounts for seniors anymore? I thought you used to get free coffee.
I know.
I don't know.
I walked into
Joe would know.
Years and years and years ago, I went into a McDonald's up in Fort Pierce, and I ordered a coffee, and she says, "Are you a senior?" And I said, "Why are you asking?" "Well, if you are, it's free or a dollar." And I said, "Well, if you're going to insult me and call me a senior, the answer is yes." But I think it was like 50. And I said, "How old do you have to be?" And she didn't even know. But if you looked old, as far as she was concerned, you got it.
So, okay, that's perfect.
But in Joe's case,
they don't do that anymore, do they?
He pulls up today.
I don't really know because I've never ordered another coffee at McDonald's.
Oh, that's not true. You told me you did. You went to the window, you told them, and they gave you two cups of coffee.
When was that?
About a month ago.
You sure?
Yeah, because they said if you're a senior, you get one. They looked at you, they gave you two.
He was a super senior.
Super senior. All right, folks, don't pay attention to either one of these other two. 1-888-221-8990. It's a subject that's very hard to broach because there's probably 30,000 different investments out there,
And one of the things that I've been talking to people now for the last 2.5 years is that I've been very uncomfortable with investing in the market. Why? Well, what happens is we had a recession, the market tanked, and then it came back up to a certain point. And that certain point hit about two and a half years ago. And our normal stock market is based on growth in the economy, and the stock market should grow. Meaning this, if a company makes money and they keep growing, usually their value goes up. If their value of the company goes up, usually the value of their stock goes up. And I say usually because there's no 100% rule, but that's a basic rule. Well, what's happened is in the last couple of years, we've had almost no gross domestic product increase. We're looking at this 1 or 2%, and a lot of us are having a hard time using fuzzy math figuring where is that 1 or 2 because they don't use food and energy and the stuff that cost us the most money.
Yeah, they take that out.
They take it, and here's what cost us the most, they don't count.
Right.
So literally, by all estimations, the most people today that are working were making just about the same thing they were making in 2009, or maybe even less. So it really hasn't grown. In the meantime, here comes the stock market, and people say, I want to have income. Well, the S&P 500, which is 500 of America's biggest companies, have averaged over a long, long period of time, roughly 8% a year. Okay, not for the last couple of years. It's been flat. And there's a lot of people that not only think it's flat, but they use what's called a price-to-earnings ratio, price of a share of stock based on earnings. And that ratio, if it's what is called favorable to an investor, is usually 10 or less, that number. And today it's around 18 or 20. So I have looked at my clients and say, hey, maybe if you're 35 and we got a long, long window, it might be okay. But personally, my own money, I can't imagine why I'd want to be in the market today until economic conditions are more favorable. Then, yes, now it might be a time to put a portion or most or whatever it might be. So in the meantime, I talk to people about, hey, you got the bank. Bank's paying a good quarter, half, maybe one if you get real lucky. I had one that paid 1.3, and I thought, oh, boy.
Oh, boy, that's...
$100,000, that's $1,300 a year. Boy, oh, boy, whoa. Oh, boy. You know, just think about, you got to be careful going to McDonald's with Victoria. She'll suck that right up out of you.
$50 a pop. But how do you explain this, Joe? I mean, you made an interesting stat, and I read that too, where the wages on a real-time basis haven't gone up much in 10 years, probably.
Yeah.
Well, then how do you explain the increase in home prices?
Well, there is no real increase in home prices. They went way down, way below the cost of new construction.
You look like you're in Martin County. They've gone up, what, an average of 30% in 2015?
However, they are still haven't caught up to new construction. So literally what happened during the height of the bubble when real estate burst, an existing piece of property sold for more than a brand new piece of property in the same exact location because this bubble that burst. Things got inflated. People got all caught up in this thing where everybody was going to get rich. And normally when this bubble occurs, things are overpriced. Mm-hmm. And then at some point they need to reset and go. And normally when they reset, they go up too high and then they come down too low. Then they come back up again. It's a constant cycle. Nobody has ever been able to find that middle line ad infinitum. Like Vince, when we go back to when we were kids, you paid like $37,000 for your first house.
Yeah, exactly.
I paid $15,000. Now, New York was more expensive than Michigan, but my first two houses cost $15,000 a piece, and they were nice houses. Well, you know, now some of these houses, if I take you into the city of Detroit, probably not worth anything to speak of because location kills them. But new construction today is roughly $200 a square foot. Multiply that times whatever house you're going to build plus land, et cetera. It's expensive. Wow. So if you can buy a house for less than $200 a square foot, existing that's in good shape, it's still a value.
Mm-hmm.
And if the two, new construction and existing construction, are on a par based on quality and maintenance, that's a fair market. However, when all of a sudden the prices of existing real estate start to go higher than new construction, that is the outcome of a bubble.
You don't think we have a bubble in the market now?
Not at all. Now, what is a major concern? Today we have interest rates, fixed rate mortgages, 3 and 4%. Wonderful, magnificent, unbelievable bargains compared to way it was for many years. There was as high as 17 and 18 and 20% during the worst of times. So even though a house might be more expensive than it was a year ago by 30%, the reason is supply and demand. In theory, more people are working.
In theory.
The unemployment rate is around 5%, so more people can afford to buy a house. But also rents have gone up tremendously. So all of a sudden, here's a person that has decent credit, and they're renting for, let's say, $1,200 or $1,500 a month. Now they can go buy a house for $1,200 or $1,500 a month, and they're not going to have a rent increase every year. They're not going to have a landlord decides to kick them out or whatever. So back to the American dream of homeownership. Why do we buy a house?
Yeah, I get that. But I think that the without wages going up proportionately, I don't see how you continue to ask for a higher car or higher value on that house if the buyers don't have the money ultimately to pay for it.
Hey, here comes supply and demand. If they don't.
Unless they're outsiders coming in and sucking up all the supply. Yes.
You're always going to have that. America brings in people from all over the globe.
Yeah, or even retirees are coming down to Florida, for example. That could be a reason why they're going up as well.
That's Florida. But here is this. America,
nationwide, this might be a different story.
Well, there are certain pockets in America that don't grow. And then there are certain pockets that grow too much. Like, let's go down to Dade County. I mean, most of the buyers that are coming into Dade County are from South America. They're bringing in their money. They're protecting it. They're paying a very high price. Well, okay, New York City, tons of people from all over the world.
Right.
I mean, New York City's magic. And what's it cost for a loft? I mean, you could be $1 million to something that's the size of this little room.
That's right.
It's just supply and demand, what people can get away with. The key thing that you're looking for is this ratio to make it work that if you use new construction as the gauge for what it costs to buy a house, and if you can find an existing home for less than that, this is called good. If all of a sudden existing homes cost more than new construction, you got a major problem, which we already had, which caused a bubble, which burst.
Right, exactly.
Now, today, interest rates are very low, which is still a great motivator for people to buy.
Right.
But what's going to happen when interest rates start to go up?
Well, they won't be able to afford them.
And the market will start to deteriorate.
Yeah.
So,
which is why the Fed is in a bind right now.
Well, and they next month, though, they still think they're going to go up a quarter of a point.
I don't see it. But
I know. But we'll see. This is constant goal. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. And by the way, anybody that wants to get information on different types of investments, especially things that are paying interest, where you've got a 5 or a 6% interest rate that are 100% liquid, you call the radio station. They'll take your name and number. I'll get you some information so you can see what's available to you in the open market without taking undue risk. And I say that because there are good things out there. They're not going to be home runs. I know people like 15 and 20 and 30%, but you're looking at high risk normally. But if you start looking at 5 or 6%, normally there are things out there that are very palatable that, hey, $100,000 in the banks, $1,000, 5% is $5,000. Monster difference in your in what you can get. What do you think, Karen?
Boy, 1 minute.
Karen is just jumping up and down with that. Boy, you are really glib today. Lots of words. Oh, she giggled though. That was pretty good. We got some action out of her. She said we have 1 minute left, Vince.
1 minute. Your final words of wisdom, Joe.
Final words of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. We're in Florida.
Thank you is right.
Thank you.
Amen.
You know, hey, I'm telling you, I look every day and say, you know, boy, oh boy, I really miss Detroit. And I don't mean it for 1 second.
You said you're not going anywhere. You plan to die here, just not so soon.
Not so soon, with any luck. 888-221-8990. And I think we're winding down, and there's another call, but I don't think we're going to have time
to take it on the radio.
How much time we got, Mother? We out. Until next week. Goodbye.
God bless you.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.